Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I haven't spoken yet this morning, Danny.
Yeah.
You know what? Speech.
There's no 901, no 902 with like a commercial and an update. It's right there. I mean, I'm watching the clock hit 9, and bam. I mean, it wasn't. Whew. These weekend shows do not forget.
They're awesome. Like, if there's any more taxing they can do in a radio show for the host, I don't know what else could be added addition. What I'm trying to say is there's no commercials, there's no updates, there's no guests, there's no nothing. And Vic is slightly hostile the entire time. Like, that's, you know that's going to take place.
8:59. Should I be able to hear Danny? Can I hear Danny? I thought I heard him. Vic goes, you'll be able to hear him on air. like he threatened you. You'll be able to hear him on air. You just do your show.
I love Vic. I really do. But he's just, you can just, it comes out to, it pours through his essence how much he does not like producing these radio shows, which is fine. Who would? I'm Chad. That's Danny. Jesus Christ. But yesterday, Ruye, just for some context, I played in the band in the morning. Then I worked at the shop all day. And then I said, well, my weekend is non-existent because, you know, we have to do the 6-day week thing. So last night we had the bonfire, and I wanted to stay up later, and I wanted to drink, and I wanted to do all. And I said, I've got to be up tomorrow morning on Sunday and at least able to attempt to put together a sentence. I imagine with all the Bambinos, because I know you're starting a dodgeball team over there in D.C., is it the same? I mean, it's not the same type of circumstances or activities, but I imagine it's the same thing when you look up and see this booked on your Sunday.
Yeah, so We get lulled into these confidences, right, where you think, you know, it's going to be okay. And our two-year-old, like, found, like, a higher Dragon Ball Z form last night where he just, you know, like, he's, like, Super Saiyan 12 at 3 a.m. for whatever reason. Now it's 3 a.m., so what should I be doing? 3 a.m., I must be lonely. And that was him, just screaming, yelling, carrying on. We took turns trying. I came down to the basement this morning. And this is where the wife had him from about 3:45 to like 5. And it looks like the movie Twister was just shot down here.
Oh,
disaster
God.
On stilts. So, you know, I think I finally got him back to sleep at like 5 something. And it's my own fault because The Last of Us 2 came out the other day. And I'm going, oh, just one more corner. One more room to explore. There's a clicker down there. I should probably take him out to save humanity. Next thing you know, I went to bed at about 2:30. Woke up at 3:45 to deal with the kid. And now I'm here. Man. But listen, it's just part of it. This is, again, I told you last time we did the show together, there's a time where I'm really, really jealous of you. This is one.
Well,
one of those times.
I would say that the only reason to be jealous is that everything that I did was my own decision. I didn't have to deal with a variable that was taking place. But I would imagine the same level of fatigue is there. And it is odd because doing afternoons, I don't know. Usually I have a conversation before the mics crack, you know, because if you're sitting there and you can hear my voice, it's horrific. You kind of work all the bugs and the glitches out. It's like letting a car warm up. And with this, like, you know, the alarm went off at 8:15 and I trudged downstairs and I sat here and I stared for a while. And then all of a sudden I hear Vic saying, all right, you're on. After no update at 8:59:50, and I'm like, oh, I haven't even begun to be a human being this morning. It's not even the process hasn't even started.
Yeah, I hit snooze 4 times.
Trudged
down here at 8:47 or like 8:50 something after brushing my teeth. Somehow it took me 7 minutes to brush my teeth and then get downstairs. I'll never figure out where the time goes. There's a warp in the morning, but whatever. And I got down here and I'm sipping, like, I haven't even finished. I'm not even halfway through my first coffee. And here I am bantering with my pal, Chad Dukes, on Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all the rockin' dads out there, yeah, everybody.
Happy Father's Day to you, my friend. Now, here's a question I've been waiting to ask you.
Yeah.
I have always seen, because I'm not a father, but I know lots of fathers, that you get the shaft on Father's Day compared to anniversary, Valentine's Day, God forbid, Mother's Day. There's this bit that we kind of do in this country where we act like moms go unappreciated when all we do is talk about how appreciated moms are. There isn't one conversation about dads, and a lot of time that seems to include Father's Day. I talked to J.P. Finley about this. You know what his Father's Day was? He's getting up and making breakfast for everybody, and then he wants to maybe watch some golf later. That's his Father's Day. Is that kind of your setup there? How does it work in the Rouye household?
So we don't – there's no hard and fast. I mean, I don't want a big production, because if I get a big production, it means that the production better be tenfold the next time my turn to do something comes around. I want to be left alone in the dark and in the cold, and I want to eat what I want with no sighs and no scorn, and I want to play right now. It's The Last of Us 2. That's what I want to do. That's my day. Book it. I don't hope to watch golf later like our pal like J.P. Finley. And again, wow, you aim so for the sad stars and you end up in the sky. Here's the thing, and you're 100% right about this. You ever see Bill Burr's bit about what the woman said on Oprah? The toughest job there is being a mom. He goes, because I thought being an Irish guy doing roofing in the summertime was a little bit tougher. It's all those moms putting all those DVDs and all those DVD players.
Dude. Have you ever? I mean, this is a weird question. Good. Have you ever done roofing?
No.
For one summer, my grandfather was having his house roofed, and he had a guy there, and they wanted me to like learn. I gotta say, whoever does that, if they're not a millionaire by the time they retire, I don't know why anyone would do it. You're carrying these. It's basically bundles of flattened tar up onto the roof. It's a billion degrees. They weigh 60 pounds a bundle. It's the most backbreaking, arduous work in the world. And whenever I sit down and I think about, I want to complain because I was told I can't use this word now, or this topic is off limits, or I've got to cut this copy for the 400th, AutoZone's losing their minds. I sit down and I remember 1 hour of doing that, and it gives you so much context. Nothing is the hardest job in the world because that exists.
Yeah, seriously. My uncle was a coal miner. He dropped out of high school because the family didn't have any money. And he went down to the coal mine. That's what he did. I'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like you guys. Hey, you have to go through sexual harassment training for the 11th time. just don't harass anybody. Got it. I'm so good at not harassing people. By the way, I'm amazing at it.
I'm with you though on like I don't even know what a Father's Day celebration would be, but it is probably somewhat off-putting that you would assume it have something to do with being a father. But I would be just like you. The last thing I want to do is be a father on that day. I want to be left alone with my own devices. Like, that's the greatest gift you could possibly give me.
It's perfect. And that's – honestly, I think that's pretty common too, by the way, is just leave dad the hell alone. Like, don't come to dad with a problem. Don't bother dad. If dad wants to nap, let dad nap. Just don't get in dad's face. Give dad his space. That's the only thing that most dads demand. Now, there's some guys that are like, have it together somehow. And are like, you know, it was grand as we spent a bunch of time together as a family. Bully for that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what Pleasantville utopia that guy lives in, because he exists. Like, he's out there and he's like shaking his head at me right now, going, "I can't believe you're saying the things you're saying." Again, tip of the old cap to you. You got it more together than I do. I obviously love my family, love my children very much. They are, you know, it's the first time in my life I've ever felt like I really truly matter because I made them. You know, that's great. Go away for today. You know, I'll see you tonight. Leave me. I'll tuck you in. Yeah, I'll tuck you in.
Leave me to my blackout curtains and the warm blue glow of the PlayStation, and I'll be fine for the remainder. All right, Andy, this is unprecedented for me because I didn't get a chance to do this before the show. You ready for this? Listen to this. Here we go. Hear that, bad boy?
What is that?
You hear that?
Yeah.
That is my... I gotta say, and I went to you for counsel on this, and I have to thank you. I'm not getting paid a dollar from this machine, but I gotta say that this is, as far as putting one tiny item in your house and having it change your life. Getting a coffee maker that has the hopper the top for the for the full coffee bean, that every time you want coffee, it grinds it and then infuses the bean grinds with the water and then it dumps it out and you have the smell of the ground coffee. It is life-altering, and I don't know how I got this far without it.
Will you take a picture of your unit?
Yes.
And I you know what I meant. Take a picture of your unit.
I'll do
and
both.
Thank you very much. Thank you for picking up what I'm putting down. And put it in the chat. I want to see. I love people's coffee setups. I'm a snob about it. I am condescending. I'm dismissive. I'm annoying. I talk about beans. I talk about aroma. I talk about mouthfeel. All of it. I love coffee so much. It's the reason. It's the whole reason that the next day can start. We should thank coffee way more than we do. That sounds like a good setup. I love that situation that you're talking about. Grinds are fine. There's nothing wrong with a good coffee grind. Nothing wrong with a good bean or whatever. Having it all in a one-stop shop like that, it's a fresher cup. It just is. Deal with it.
Well, we had it. I got to say, for years, and I'm not proud of this, because I like to – people think I'm a, you know, big mouth-breathing white trash, but, like, I like to recycle. I like to – you know, I don't like waste. And so what I – we had the Keurig for many years. And I, like you, I love coffee and – I don't know what the Keurig is. It's a fine invention, I suppose. It's not coffee. Like, you can barely even tell it's the same product as the one I'm drinking now. And then you have the nonstop deluge of those little plastic cups. This thing doesn't even use a coffee filter. You just pull out the little hopper and wash it out whenever you're done making a cup or a pot or whatever it is. And, Danny, I feel like this thing should have cost $3,000. That's the one good thing about where there's a lot of bad stuff going on humanity right now, but I can go buy a 60-inch TV for $700, and I can buy this coffee machine that's going to make whole bean coffee for me every morning for about $250. I mean, you don't have to be rich to afford this stuff.
What's the coffee bean right now? Do you know what's in there? What's in your cup?
I do. I bought so there's this Panini Ranch in Texas that I order tri-tip from, and it comes delivered, and you just slice it up, and it's delicious, and they make a Texas cowboy coffee. So what I do is I use that as kind of the base bean, because I don't put cream or sugar in my coffee. I like coffee flavored coffee. But then my wife found this company. We get Black Rifle at the store. I bring that home a lot. But she found this company called Bones, and they make all these crazy flavors like French vanilla and strawberry shortcake, and it's just way over the top.
Oh, wow.
But what I do is I take, I would say, 70% just standard cowboy coffee, and then I dump about 30% of one of these crazy flavors into the hopper. So it just gives you like kind of a nice tinge
on the
end of it. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I aim for every day.
Two questions. One, how do you come up with a recipe? And the second question is, if I'm your wife, well, let me try that again. If it's me, drop me into this situation.
I've been waiting for you to do that hypothetical.
Yeah, well, you know where I'm going with this. You drop me into that situation.
Sure.
My wife would despise me because every time I open up the bag, I go, bones, 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 bones. And like, she would hate me when it came to coffee. Like, I wouldn't be able to resist doing that. So my follow-up is, how'd you come up with a recipe? And then the second is, do you do that?
I don't. It's funny, though. I might start now because I can't imagine it's not going to be stuck in my head. I don't like... Everything seems to need to be like birthday cake flavored now. I don't know why that is. We tried on Big on Dukes the other week. There was a birthday cake flavored Kit Kat. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, how lavish is everyone's lifestyle now that you need Kit Kats to be special flavored? Like, I always thought the reason why ranch existed, Danny, was to dip cauliflower in, you know, to dip broccoli in. And because
hide the lies. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Why does everyone need to dip pizza in ranch now? Like, what has happened where all of this seductive, over-the-top food that was supposed to be the reward, now all of that needs to be gussied up? When did that happen?
All right, so I don't know the answer to that. I think people ran out of time or ran out of ideas. You know, they're just like, you know what you should do? Throw some birthday cake on there. People like birthday celebration. I'm a marketing genius. I'm looking at your coffee setup now. Can I get an approximate height on that? Because that looks like it's going to fit under counter depth while being that versatile and powerful. That's a good looking machine.
It does. If you see it and you can look behind it and see where the backsplash is, when I'm done, I push the thing back and there's plenty of counter space. It is a tremendous product. I wish I could get money for it. I don't like plugging it because I've sold like 50 of these things, and they don't know I exist, but it's a tremendous unit. I can't recommend it enough.
And so the one I've got upstairs, it is a Cuisinart, which is not a particularly special brand, in my opinion. I think it's very, very accessible. But they've got this line of pour-over coffee machines.
I love that.
That's kind of the new hotness, and it's the same deal, right? Yeah. Where it's a slower brew, and I find you don't actually have to use as much coffee to still get the same amount of potency, just in terms of the beans that you grind into your coffee grounds, and you don't have to like pile on like seven scoops for five cups. You know what I mean? Like it's actually now you get a better ratio because it's a slower percolation, if that's the correct terminology. But I like that setup right there.
I'm jealous because my goal. Did you ever watch Dexter?
You know, this is embarrassing. Here it comes, 9:15 in the morning. No, it's one of those shows that I've always wanted to watch. I'm not opposed to it. It's one of those shows the wife has no interest in it.
Right.
And it's not. Dude. It's not like we're going to fight about it or anything. It's just that there are plenty of shows that we are both interested in.
Exactly.
That it's just an easier thing. So it's just always been a hole, and I may have to just go do it on my own.
Well, let's put a thumbtack here because I want to dive into what you just said. It's so being in a relationship for as long as I have, and again, the kids are a different variable. But time is precious. Like I don't work the same schedule as my wife does, and I'm still in a spot where I enjoy her company. Where a lot of my people that I know are married, they don't necessarily feel that way. But what I like to do is TV shows are enormous investments. Like I don't know, Danny, I don't know these people that when Ozark comes out by you go into work on Monday, they're like, oh, did you watch Ozark? And they mean the whole series. They've watched the whole, how do they do it? I don't know how they have the time, but we don't have like to sit down and invest in a TV show. We both have to be all in, and it's going to be 10 to 12 hours. What we generally share, movies, like 90 minutes, 2 hours, one hitter quitters. And then TV shows, we have our own TV shows that we watch because of exactly what you're saying. It's like if you're going to invest that amount of time, you both have to be all in. So there's lots of shows that people bring up that I'm like, she's not that into it, or I'm not that into. Like the stupid Tiger King show. I didn't watch one second of that. She watched all of it in the first 2 days, and that worked out great for both of us.
Yeah, it's a very unique phenomenon to now, right? It used to be, like, you and I are old enough to remember, the episode would come on Sunday at 8, Thursday at 9, and it was much easier to do that. I mean, I am old enough, Chad, where we had friends watch parties. I was part of that. I was part of a group that we would go to each other's dorm rooms and watch episodes of Friends.
Are there any pictures of that? Nights. I need a picture of that, Danny.
Oh no, it was a bit of a show. A couple ball players and a bunch of gymnasts and everybody trying to make the touch to other people. And that's what it was. I mean, we did. It was that big of a deal. Like watch parties were a thing. Now it's like, of course, I binged all 27 episodes before you had a chance to crack one. And how have you not done this? You know, do you even care? But the alone time that the wife and I get to sort of unwind and relax, there's got to be mutual interest. And it's not, I'm not like trying to bully over the, like, hey, watch this ridiculous science fiction film. Like, you know, let's watch, what's that show? Carbon Life. What's the one with the Altered Carbon? She's no interest in that. So like that's me when I'm on the stupid treadmill trying to be less fat, you know, like we can work those sorts of things out. And it's very easy to do the tough guy thing where it's like, dude, it's so awesome. She would love it. She would not love Dexter. I can tell you that right now. It's about a dude that commits homicides. She has no interest in that. So it's one of those things that I'm always embarrassed that I've missed. But, you know, we've watched a billion shows together. We've ripped through as much Netflix and Amazon Prime content as anybody because that's like our thing, you know. But yeah, if you got to have – it's like a zipper. You got to have mutual interest in going up or down.
Well, the reason why I brought it up is and first of all, I think you would love Dexter. It might be my favorite TV show of all time with, you know, the rest of the pantheon everybody always invokes. But in the beginning of the show is Michael C. Hall plays like this very regimented serial killer. And it's his breakfast. And it's just his morning routine. And I swear to God, he gets up and he puts the pat of butter in the griddle and he makes the country fried ham. And then he makes eggs. And then he carves blood oranges and makes himself a fresh glass. And then he has a French press. And I watch him make French press coffee every episode. And I sit there and I say, I would kill to have this be my morning routine. This would be awesome. But I think it would take me 2.5 hours to get ready for work in the morning if I did this. But I've always liked that, the notion of I'm making this little pot of French press just for me, and I'm pushing down the plunger. Oh, it's so romantic.
Yeah, the French press is my special day coffee. And if I didn't have to do this radio program with my pal Chad, that's what I would have done this morning.
I apologize for that, by the way.
No, it's a, what did you do? You didn't do anything. You asked. You said, well, you said, quote, we're working together this weekend? With a question mark at the end.
But that was on Friday, by the way. I hadn't heard anything. By the way, Danny, I keep seeing all this phase two, phase three stuff, and I'm so happy for everybody. And then I look down at my checking account, and then I look at my schedule. I'm like, I'm still taking a pay cut to work 6 days a week. Where's the phase two and all of that? Have I missed an email or anything? I don't seem to be getting communications like you are.
I refresh that inbox all the time. You have not missed anything. I want a phase. Where's my phase?
Please.
I want a new phase.
Just give us a phase.
Phase two of Del Boca Vista Condominiums.
I'm excited. I'm going to be all over that shuffleboard court. We've got three guests today, Danny. This is unprecedented.
Record.
I mean, it's incredible. Bottom of the hour, Ryan Wilson. You have him on your show. I have him on my show. Love that guy. Very good at talking football. And a guy that still seems to like football, which seems to be increasingly rare in people that cover it.
It's not in vogue.
No, certainly isn't. At top of the hour, Brian Shea is a video game expert. He writes about video games for a living. You know him. I know him as well. And you said it, Danny. Last of Us is out. Rave reviews. We got the next level of PlayStation, Xbox, the arcade 1UP bit that I love so much. They just announced four new games. So there's plenty to talk to him about. And this is exciting, I think, Danny. At 11, the executive vice president and general manager of the Fredericksburg Nationals, Nick Hall, will be on the program. So those guys were supposed to be starting their inaugural season down in Fredericksburg with a brand new building and have been completely boned by this whole COVID situation.
Ooh. And they're sitting there watching, I'm sure, this game of, new tetherball that the owners and players are playing, where everybody hates each other, just going, let me know. Let us know when we can actually just, play some baseball again. I'm sure that's a frustrating spot for them.
Well, you guys did a segment on your show that I like very much where you're talking about all this different stuff that minor league baseball stadiums were doing to try to earn money throughout all this. So I kind of thought we could pick his brain about that, too. So that's all coming up. We'll take your phone calls as well if anyone's actually listening. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That is Funny Danny. I am Chad Dukes. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bam. It's Chad Dukes. No, it isn't. It's Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is.
I'm so used to sitting in this kitchen and saying that, Danny. I'm so used to it.
It's amazing what human beings get used to, man.
Right?
We've got our this thing that we came up with just to pass the time during the sportless wasteland that we're in, where you do a movie club, where you watch a movie every night and talk about it the next day, right? And we recently watched V for Vendetta, which is a great flick.
Maybe the best movie of all time. It is tremendous.
I love that movie. And it's not a casual watch movie. It's you got to be in the right frame and right space, but it's really, really good when you allow all the emotional arcs to hit you. And what you just said occurred to me just now. There's a parallel, and here it is. It's amazing what human beings will get used to. Whatever it is, we'll get used to it.
Yep.
I know it sucks, and it's not always great, and it's just this adaptability of the human condition that you just said, I'm used to doing shows in my kitchen. Like, what parallel universe would that have ever made sense in? I'm in my laundry room for the millionth day out of a million. There's a toilet 4.5 feet to my right. And
jealous.
5.5 feet. I know it's great during commercial breaks and sometimes during actual segments during the week. People don't know about it. And then the laundry machines, I'm sure that's the right term. Washer and dryer. Machine. It's the laundry machines. You put the clothes in.
The cooking machine in there, right there, sitting in the kitchen.
It gets hotter than hell. Good Lord. Anyway, it's all right here. And this is normal. I just stare at this wall where there's an electrical outlet, and I could put my computer and this big, dumb Comrex machine that I have no idea how it works. It's just normal now.
I got to say something to you that I think you're going to respect me more for.
Go on.
My first date with my wife was to see V for Vendetta in the movie theater.
Dude, get out of here.
That was our very first date. Can you believe that?
Yes, because it was my second date with my wife.
Get out of here.
Hand to God. I swear
that
to you.
That is bizarre.
Our first date, we went to a restaurant called Ardeo on Connecticut Avenue, not far from where she lived. Our second date, we saw V for Vendetta. I swear to you.
Let's see if Ryan Wilson took his wife to see V for Vendetta on his first or second or third date. He joins us now, of course, from CBS Sports. He's got podcasts. He writes. He does it all, and he's on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline with Chad Dukes and Danny Ruye. Ryan, always great to have you. Why on earth would you agree to do a radio interview at 9:30 on a Sunday morning?
I love you guys. I got to do anything for my guy Chad and Danny. Although it is pretty hardcore V for Vendetta for a first or second date. I've been married forever. We went to a barbecue joint for our first date, and as much as I love Natalie Portman, at no point did V for Vendetta cross my mind. But I love it. Hey, hardcore! You guys still together with your significant others? Congratulations.
I can't speak for Danny, but that's how I knew it was going to work. I mean, I kind of knew right then, because I was like, if you're, first of all, willing to do this and then willing to lie and tell me that you really liked the movie because you knew I liked it so much, I feel like that bodes well 100%. For the relationship.
100%. Not only you tolerated it, but you pretended to enjoy it just so you can hang out with me. Good Lord.
By the way, Hugo Weaving was Tom Hardy before Tom Hardy's bit is he has to have his face covered up in movies that people are paying him millions of dollars to be in because he's Tom Hardy. Hugo Weaving did that before Tom Hardy because he walked. You didn't see his face one time during that whole movie.
Yeah, no, that is legit a really good movie. It wasn't a diverging movie case at this point, but to your points, at the beginning, you sort of act like you like everything your partner likes, and those days have long since gone. So, that's an amazing story.
It certainly is. Hey, let me ask you about this, Ryan. These other sports where athletes are coming back and they're all testing positive. There's a lot of pearl clutching, and I know it's a thing, but my whole deal was, well, isn't this what's supposed to happen? You bring them back, you test them, you quarantine them, they get rid of it, and then everybody's ready to go and everybody's clean. That's going to be a part of any of this process for these sports to come back, right? Am I missing something?
No, you're right, and I think we get lost. And I look... Chad, I talk to you about this all the time. You and I have different views about a lot of things, but I think the one thing we can agree on is that every day we read about people, the number of cases going up. But what and this is what I would love to know, and I would love to know where to find it. I spend my life in news, so I should be able to know where to find this. I can't. Cases are going up, sure, but what are the repercussions that it's having on these people who have been identified as positive for COVID-19? Are they getting sicker? Are they less sick? And those are the questions that you need to ask. And to your question, yeah, that was the whole idea of having all these different sports have a plan in a COVID-19 world, when you get these guys back together from all over the country, or if you're in Europe, from all over Europe, the expectation is, yes, someone's going to ID positive in much the same way someone's going to be diagnosed with the flu during flu season. If you come from different places and you're doing different things and you're not washing your hands and all the things we've been talking about for a few months now. And then the question becomes, okay, what's the plan? What plan do we have in place for mitigating this once someone is known to have tested positive for COVID-19? And we're seeing that. We're seeing it with the college kids coming back to work out ahead of the college football season. We've seen it with some of the NFL teams. And they've isolated the people who come down with it. And in some cases, they've shut down the facility. I don't think this is a knee-jerk reaction. I think this is something part of the protocol. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. And the plan is to September, October, whenever, get this thing rolling when we're talking about football. I know that Anthony Fauci said recently that he's worried about the football season, and I know that Roger Goodell or the NFL said thank you, and we're going to move forward as it stands because here's our plan. Now the question becomes, will there be people in the stands? And that's a question that seems a little tougher to answer. Football seems like it's going to happen. The question of whether people will be able to watch it live, that's another conversation that probably won't happen for a few months, I would imagine.
Follow Ryan Wilson at Ryan Wilson at CBS on Twitter. Ryan, you kind of lead me to my question here. I don't have an answer for this, and I don't know. Chad just referenced it too. What's the level of acceptability? Like, what's that threshold? And I don't know the answer. You know, like, for example, in Philly's camp, 8 people, 5 players, a couple staff members test positive. They're like, okay, we got to shut the camp down. I understand that. But what if it's the regular season? Do the Phillies now just lose 2 weeks? Do all their opponents who played them have to quarantine and shut down? Like, I don't know what level of – there is some certainty. People are going to test positive as this thing has not gone away. What's acceptable for the league at this point? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know if I do either, Danny. But, I mean, it's obviously an important question. I think sort of on a smaller scale, you have to figure out – and look, the news keeps changing. What scientists know keeps changing. But if you're age 20 to 30, it seems like where we are right now, you are very low – probability of getting sick. And if that's where the science is going and you're 20 to 30 and you're an athlete, professional athlete, maybe you're okay. You're still going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And God forbid, you know, you lose Patrick Mahomes. That's a problem, obviously. But just in terms of being able to move forward with a season, now the issues get even stickier when you're talking about coaches who are in their 60s and may have underlying health conditions. That's another conversation. Is someone who's 65 and has high blood pressure, is he going to have to be quarantined in the booth, for example? We don't know. But in terms of the big picture question you're asking, that's a tough one. And the NFL hasn't talked about it publicly. I would be curious to know what their plan is should, say, half the New England Patriots come down with COVID-19, 2 weeks before Halloween. What are you doing? Because you can't have 40 guys out on one team and expect the season to go off without a hitch. So that has to be a concern, and there's no conversation in the NFL of quarantining these guys or putting them in one place, like in Las Vegas or in Orlando, for example, like other sports leagues are talking about doing. They're going to be where they are. It's just a matter of them doing the right thing. And hopefully with the protocols in place where they're having the temperature taken, they're taking tests every day, if there is an outbreak, it's only 1 or 2 or 3 players, and you can nip it in the bud. But if it runs through a locker room, then that's a conversation that where things get really sticky in terms of trying to figure out how you move forward during the middle of the season.
Ryan Wilson is with us from CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS, and he is a host of the Pick Six podcast, very popular football podcast. Let's talk football. I would love to stop talking about everything else. This is sport has left us with not a lot here, but I want to ask you about the Texans, and I think we talked about them a while ago, Ryan. Is it possible? I don't like the David Johnson move. I don't know how you get rid of one of the best wide receivers in football and you think your team's got better. But they added some speed. Deshaun Watson is an MVP caliber quarterback no matter who's out there with him. They should be able to play defense. And I don't, you know, that division is that division. We'll have to wait and see on Phillip Rivers. Is it possible? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a playoff team. I wouldn't be surprised if they won that division. I know Bill O'Brien's a mope, and it's, you know, we take our shots because he does some inexplicable things, but yeah. They probably still are going to be a pretty good football team, I would assume.
That's the thing. It's so easy to confuse Bill O'Brien, the general manager, with Bill O'Brien, the head coach. But if you look at his record, he wins football games. And look, play-by-play, game-by-game, you can get frustrated with some of the decisions he makes. He's not necessarily the best play caller given the down and distance and the situation in the game, and Texans fans will tell you that quite readily. But at the end of the day, the man is winning football games, and he's done it not with just guys named Deshaun Watson, but with guys named Brock Osweiler and quarterbacks that Tom Savage that no one's really talking about. So, yeah, it's without question that Deshaun Watson is a top-five quarterback in this league, top-five player even, and everything has to revolve around him. But I don't know how you can expect to be a better football team without DeAndre Hopkins. You trade for David Johnson and that contract. You're going to sign these long-term deals for guys like Laramie Tunsil, who you gave up two first-round picks to get, and have money left over to fix the other holes, because the defense is not very good. It was, in fact, really, really bad last year. J.J. Watt's coming back, excuse me, that's great, but they didn't have much in the way of draft picks fixing things on that defense, and they lost a lot of players. So all that said, yeah, they could certainly win. You could see Deshaun Watson put this team on his back, and they win 10 football games. But you sort of touched on it, Chad. I want to see what this Colts team looks like with Phillip Rivers, a ton of cap space. They signed a ton of young guys in free agency and, of course, the draft. They look to be really good, and the real challenger there, even though, you know, we're months removed from the Titans almost making it to the Super Bowl. But I think Deshaun Watson and the Texans could win. I just think it's going to be tough given all the things we just talked about.
Ryan, I might be a hipster, but I was whelmed by the Hard Knocks announcement. It's cool that it's two teams and that's neat, but it's, you know, it's this LA thing, and I feel like I've seen some footage of Sean McVay recently. I don't know if you've had a chance to digest any of it, but he's very handsome. He's on television and he's fun talking football. But it's a lot. It's when you do the all or nothing. When you add in the Hard Knocks from a couple years ago, I feel like we've done this LA thing a lot. The league is very, very insistent that this LA thing is a thing. The Chargers couldn't fill a soccer stadium. Nobody cares about them. They should still be in San Diego, but I digress. I just wasn't that excited. I feel like there are more compelling storylines elsewhere. Am I just being a hipster doofus?
No, not at all. I think you're right, Danny. In fact, I think there was more notoriety around the idea that the Chargers or the Rams' new uniforms are terrible than it is around the announcement that they're going back to L.A. for the Hard Knocks. I feel like Hard Knocks has almost run its course because we were so inundated with behind-the-scenes footage. A lot of NFL teams now do it on their own. Amazon Prime has their version of it. And some of the last few haven't been that great. Now, Sean McVay, Jared Goff aren't the most exciting people to build a show around. Maybe there's something with Justin Herbert, the first-round pick. Again, but he's not super exciting in front of a camera, so I don't know what the storyline's going to be unless we see something like Colin Kaepernick sign with the Chargers. Anthony Lynn mentioned that maybe that's a possibility. They're not ruling it out. And then things get interesting. I'm more inclined to believe that the NFL is doing this because they're trying to ramp up excitement for, as you point out, organizations that aren't typically very excitable. Chargers, as you said, they can't fill a soccer stadium. When they do, it's with other people's fans. That stadium in Los Angeles will be hosting the Super Bowl in 2 years, I believe. So maybe that's a look ahead to that. I don't know. But I won't be searching it out. If I come across it accidentally on HBO, I'll check it out. But it's not one of the things that I feel like I have to watch, where 4, 5, 6 years ago, you wouldn't miss an episode of Hard Knocks because it was that good.
All right, I got to ask you, Ryan, about so Dwayne Haskins looks great. He's everywhere with his shirt off. Everybody thought he looked doughy last year. I don't know. I've never Dan Marino never looked ripped to me. I mean, quarterbacks, I think biceps don't really mean all that much, but it shows a commitment to his physique and his work ethic. And also, I like the fact there's a lot of stuff the kid can't control right now. And he's like, I'm going to control this. And he did, and then credit to him. He's got a laser rocket arm, but – even if he's Pat Mahomes, this is a horrible spot that he's in, and it reminds me more of the spot Josh Rosen was in than the spot of that Pat Mahomes was in as far as stability. New offense, new coaches, and you look at these weapons, and outside of Terry McLaurin, you kind of cringe. There's this article on PFF where they're like, hey, go out and sign Antonio Brown. Hey, you know, bring in some of these, you know, bring in Jason Peters. Give this kid a chance. And while that seems a bit hyperbolic, they didn't do anything at tight end. I mean, they've invested in the draft in some of these position groups, but after swinging with Amari Cooper, are they setting Haskins up to fail by not investing more year one in Ron Rivera's tenure to try to get him some weapons on the offensive side of the football?
It's not great. And you sort of hit on the problems, Chad, and it starts on the opposite side of the ball. The defense has a chance to be really good, but the only thing that it does for Dwayne Haskins is perhaps – get him back on the field sooner if that defense is truly dominant. But he's going to have to make a huge leap, and I think you're right. We've talked about this before. I think he's doing all the right things in a time where there's not much else he can do. So he's in shape. He seems focused. But, again, you can't manufacture an all-pro wide receiver when there's not one there. Terry McLaurin had a fantastic season. There's some of their young guys around him. Are those guys going to step up? Is Kelvin Harmon going to do it? Is Antonio Gandy-Golden, who they drafted, is he going to come in first year from a small school and be able to do it? Those are huge question marks. You mentioned the offensive line, the left tackle. They drafted the kid at LSU, Sadiq Charles. He ain't Trent Williams, and that's no disrespect to Sadiq Charles. So maybe signing Jason Peters as a Band-Aid makes some sense. But basically what we're seeing is a lot of things have to go right every week, every game, every play for Dwayne Haskins to have a chance at success. I think you hit on it when you said this ain't the Pat Mahomes situation, because this isn't Andy Reid. The team built around Pat Mahomes isn't in place like it was when he replaced Alex Smith. This is perhaps more of a Josh Rosen situation, who was still reeling from that one-year stint in Arizona that didn't work out. Fingers crossed, hopefully it comes together, but, you know, hope isn't a plan, as they say, so we'll see what happens. But I don't know if Dwayne Haskins feels great about how the offseason went for the Redskins, other than the fact that he's in fantastic shape.
Ryan, thank you, buddy. Enjoy your Father's Day, man. Appreciate you hopping on with us early in the morning.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Ryan Wilson. Ryan Wilson, CBS. Follow him on Twitter, Pick Six Podcast, as with Will Brinson and that whole Motley Crue. Danny, I think they do 400. How are they doing that show? I mean, at least we could sit here and spitball about anything. Like, they're just talking football.
I don't know. You know, it's kind of like trend into this week. We'll go team by team. Might they sign Colin Kaepernick? Why or why not? 6 hours. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. At least we can, you know, kvetch about baseball and this is what they're going to do with the hockey tournament and lifestyle stuff. I do not know what they're doing if it's only football chopping wood there.
Think about this, though. What are our topics? We can go over outbreaks. We can go over manuals as far as safety protocols. We can go over work stoppages, furious protests. I mean, it's just awful. And I said this last week on the show. I said sport used to be where I went to get away from all of that stuff that you're just besieged because of, you know, the internet and then the nonstop cable news networks. It's like, okay, I need 2 or 3 hours to watch these amazing feats of spectacle so I can talk about them with my friends afterwards. And then I'll be gassed up and ready to go back into the fray. And that is gone. That has been ripped away from us. And all we do is talk about this stuff.
Yeah, there's no escape. There's no escape. And, you know, you always have to walk a tightrope here, right? Because if you just kvetch about that, if you go, hey, by the way, there's no escape, then you get the people who go, good, maybe there should be an escape for you because you're too comfortable. Sorry, I was just commenting. I was just saying, hey, I used to be able to turn on a game and it was just a game. I understand that. I know, I'm aware of the time we're in. I know the climate. I get it all. And, you know, nobody's happy no matter what. I think that's the big takeaway with that, right? I think my wife actually was asking me, she had to go into the office the other day, and you were on the radio, which you tend to be from 2 to 6 p.m., 2 to 6:30, actually, on most weekdays. And she asked me about something that you had said. And she's like, do you feel this way? And what you were talking about was, I just want to do the show. I want to be here. I want to be a good citizen. I want to be a good soldier. I just want to do it and not complain.
Yeah.
Everybody gets mad at you no matter what. If you talk about it, you take half the people off. If you're not talking about it, you take the people off. I'll punch the time card. If the boss says, hey, you got to talk about this today, I'll do that. She's like, do you feel that way? And I was like, no, yes, exactly. I feel exactly that way. I don't like to be screamed at. It's not that much fun. You know?
I didn't get you in an argument with your wife, did I?
No, not at all.
I don't want to.
She couldn't believe it. And I was like, listen, here's what I want to try to explain to you. I asked a question of Les Carpenter. Okay, this is right after Mayor Bowser. I mentioned the Redskins name. And I don't know if you've heard about this Redskins name debate, but it might come roaring back. I asked him a question. I said, do you think the Redskins might think this way? Like, might this be their strategy, right? And somebody goes, Danny is advocating for X. He likes the Redskins name. He's a racist. He's a bigot. Please fire him. And I'm going, whoa, what? And then about, you know, the HTTR crew that hate our guts starts retweeting it and commenting about it. That's what happened. I asked Les Carpenter a question about what the Redskins thinking might be, how they might approach this. That's what happened. And it turned into a thing online for about 5 minutes. Then the locust went somewhere else.
Why don't you block all those? Danny, why don't you block all those people? I blocked all those people so long ago. Every time JP Finley tweets, half the people that respond are, it says, you have been blocked this user. It's the best thing in the world. I blocked a lot of them.
I mean, I'm not quite Mutombo in his prime, and I've done a lot of muting, but it's like, there's a lot of folks, and you're just reminded of that. I asked a question, and you're reminded, by the way, X number of people, hey, your guts. Like, here's, it's like a Siri update, you know?
It's just so odd to me. Anyone that is a zealot of any type, I mean, the people that are the most passionate about fill-in-the-blank topic are, they're the most unhappy. And I think it's because if you're that passionate about anything that isn't like your family or your career or your relationships, that you're replacing a void. It's like if you're this passionate about professional wrestling that you'd be wishing death on me or wishing death on a wrestler or calling for people's jobs, mixed martial arts, and the Redskins. I always thought the Jaguars had the most annoying fan base. You activate some of those Redskins people, they're as insane as any group on earth. And I just think that it's transference and combined with a megaphone. Like, you know, not only do you mm-hmm. have this thing going on in your personal life, but you can spout it out all over the place and spew it all over with other people that are like you. And it's turned into this horrible glop that just goes from topic to topic, just calling for people's jobs and screaming at them and saying nasty words. It's a weird thing. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. That is Danny Ruye. I'm Chad Dukes. We're coming right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What are you laughing at?
The quote. A little quote in there for no reason.
Well, you know, yesterday was the 45th anniversary of Jaws.
Wait, I was going to say 35. Oh, 75. Yeah, I got the number wrong. It's 45.
Isn't that crazy, man?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You want to talk about holding up? That movie, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just something inert in me, but it checks every single box for me. I love everything about that movie.
Well, I know it's your favorite. That's your one scene.
It is. Yeah. I said this on Friday. I don't know when this happened, Danny, but like disturbing movies, once you batter down the disturbing part and they just become something you've seen before, like, I remember my wife and I putting Silence of the Lambs on to fall asleep to. You know, at some point, you just, the movies become so beloved that you forget, oh, this is horrifying. And that was Jaws with me. I would watch Jaws after I'd seen it for 500 times, and I'm like, man, I'd like to go to the beach. Let's go plan a beach trip where everybody says the exact opposite about that movie.
Can you imagine? I mean, people wake up in like a semi-groggy state. You can just open your eyes and Miggs is conducting business. That's how you guys fall asleep? What on earth? Oh, wait, is she a great big person? Don't go in there. What, honey? Nothing. By the way, bad dream.
Being able to talk somebody to death like Hannibal Lecter can with multiple MIGs, how powerful would that be?
Yeah. I mean, that's X-Men type stuff. There's your mutant ability. Good Lord.
That is incredible. Where are you on the – I talk to Joe Beninati about these all the time. He's as big of an enthusiast as I am. Where are you on the sequels to Silence of the Lambs, the Red Dragons and the Hannibals?
I love them, and I don't think got enough attention. Which one is it? Hannibal, right? Where the spoiler alert with the ending, right?
With Ray Liotta, yeah.
Yeah, that felt a little much to me, but here's the thing: they put enough deposits in the bank that you buy it. You buy that he would cleave his own the arm off just to get away while he's eating some brain on the. That's why I bring my own. Okay, buddy. Like you know what I mean? I think Red Dragon never gets appreciated. The original, by the way, was great back in the day. It wasn't called Red Dragon; it was called something else, but it was terrific. And the new one I thought was really good. I thought Ralph Fiennes was a 10. That movie scared the pants off me. It was really good.
Ralph Fiennes is good. Harvey Keitel is good in that movie. I mean, it's just I didn't know how I would enjoy a Will Graham, a different detective, as the principal, and it ended up being tremendous. And the supporting cast is really good. And it just, you have a good monster at the end. It's just, it's a great movie. And every time it's on, I watch the whole thing. And I just feel like people turn their nose up at those things because you shouldn't have made a sequel or a prequel to Silence of the Lambs. I'm like, excuse me, if Anthony Hopkins wants to play this character, nobody should stop him. Everybody should do what they can to enable him playing this character until 100%. He's bones.
He's so perfect at it. And it's, yeah. I think we've talked about this before. It's almost the actor's curse, where if you do something so well, which he did that role as good as anybody has ever done any role, it's now that's who he is in everything else. Like when he's like, Mr. Hunt, it's Mission Impossible. I'm like, yeah, that's Hannibal Lecter. You know what I mean? Like he's so good at that it sticks with him. And it's unfortunate because he is as gifted an actor as we've ever had on this planet. But that role he's so perfect in. But yeah, dude, I don't know why people do that. Red Dragon kicks ass, and there's my take on that. That movie's really, really good. The do you see the Leeds family before changing? Do you see? Yes, I see. Just horrifying.
How about Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie getting set on fire in a wheelchair? It's absolutely tremendous.
I want to understand. I bet you do, buddy. Strapped to a wheelchair.
That's a guy. Good. That's a guy that they came to me and said, you got to give us a pinky, but he can be alive again and making movies. I think I'd do that for Philip Seymour Hoffman. I miss that cat. He was hilarious. He was, remember him in Mission Impossible? He's like a really scary, compelling villain. I'm like, wait a minute. You're like a doughy kind of Casper looking dude. How can you do? You're the guy that screams white chocolate and slam dunks and I laugh my balls off. Like, how are you doing this right now?
I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her.
That's great.
And I believed him. Oh, he's great. Hey, great, man.
Have you seen Fracture, the movie Fracture with Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling?
Is that the one where, yes, I have seen it. He defends himself, and like the judge allows all these extra things because of defending himself, and he makes the mistake of going back into the hospital and pulling the plug, so now instead of it's not double jeopardy anymore,
it's murder.
It's murder, yeah.
Well, the reason why I love that movie is because that is as close as Anthony Hopkins is to playing Lecter again, but in like a different capacity where he's like kind of this, he's outsmarting everybody and he set up this perfect murder to get out of it. I think that movie I enjoy a lot more because what you're talking about, because when he's Odin, I'm looking at him as Odin. I'm like, you're not Odin. You're Hannibal Lecter. Stop and take the wig off for God's sakes. Put on the jumpsuit, get inside the big thick plexiglass cell. All right. We've gone way too far. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back and from Game Informer. Now, Vic, you're the biggest gamer I know. Danny, you're the second biggest gamer I know. I have questions, but I want you guys to feel free to ask whatever you want. Brian Shea is a gaming expert. He does this for a living. And we'll get into Last of Us and the new PlayStation and all that good stuff. That is Danny Ruye, and I am Chad Dukes. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.